Yes. I'm going to call to order a public hearing. This is regarding Local Law C of 2008, providing for enhanced personal privacy for documents recorded in the county clerk's office, and also authorizing an increase in fees collected by the county clerk for recording, entering, indexing, and endorsing a certificate on any instrument. Is anyone here to speak to that matter? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and invite you all to rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of members.
Ms. Chalk, I'm here. Mr. Dennis is asked to be excused. Mr. Hattery?
Here.
Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Ms. Keeper?
Present.
Ms. McAsee?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Randall?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Mr. Klingelaer?
Present.
14 members present.
I have a point of order. How do you choose who goes first?
It rotates.
Oh, okay. I'm sure it's very simple.
That's the same with committees.
Okay, thank you.
You'll notice your committee rotates throughout the year. You're not always first, Nathan.
Hey.
Petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
We have no special orders of the day, so we'll proceed to privilege of the floor for the public. 3 minutes to speak on any topic. We don't have any cards passed in, but if someone wants to speak, please come to the mic and state your name and speak to the legislature. If we have no one, then we'll move on to privilege of the floor for county legislators. Martha.
Well, hi, folks. I don't usually wear a T-shirt to this meeting, but I'm wearing a special one today. Related to my being absent last meeting, this was to celebrate Bike and Build, an organization that sponsors cross-country bike rides in support of affordable housing. And so last meeting, I was in Santa Barbara meeting my daughter, who had biked from Boston to Santa Barbara with this group. And so this is a pedaling to end poverty housing, and these are the routes that they did this year. So, they raised, in the last 5 years, they've raised almost $2 million to support affordable housing. And I just want to say the group that she was with was able to support five different housing projects specifically with donations in Massachusetts, Nevada, and Los Angeles. And I just want to thank there are a number of people in this room who supported Jesse, and I want to thank everybody, and a lot of people out there in the community also supported her with donations, and she's pretty slow on the blog. I just wanted to let y'all know she made it, and it was really exciting. They made about 30 presentations at communities across the country about affordable housing and about the organization. They participated in community builds for Habitat, mostly for Habitat for Humanity houses across the country every 5 days or so. So it's a great organization. The kids, mostly kids, are all kids. They're working on a seniors route too, but they won't sleep on it. No, it's not all downhill. So anyway, I just want to thank everybody in the community who supported affordable housing through this particular organization, and I'm glad to be back, so thanks.
Welcome back. We got a postcard from Martha from some of her travels out on the legislative box area. Anyone else wish to speak? Carol, then Frank.
Hi.
I wanted to report, first of all, that in the continuing saga of orientations, Will Burbank and I had occasion last week to meet with Pete Meskill and his fine staff in corrections. I wanted to thank him for a particularly informative meeting and tour, and also for some interesting policy considerations that we discussed about the importance, the supreme importance of having a citizen-elected sheriff. I had asked the question, it's what are the pros and cons? And I'll get into that a little bit more with your indulgence, and also of providing very good training. I was particularly impressed with the training that is provided to our staff and the thought that's given to both technique and policy. And I think it's important for us to recognize our local sheriff and police forces and realize that they are really, they've become the first line of defense in defending the democracy that we're here representing. And the balance that they're called upon to deliver when they're asked to judge, sometimes in quick order, the appropriate use of force, who's a real threat, are people exercising their crucial rights of freedom of speech in a particular situation, and what latitude to allow people to make those statements. And the importance of thinking that through in advance and knowing what our policy decisions are about that was really driven home to me in these last few weeks watching both of our national conventions. I have a particular connection to one of them, and I'm going to leave my cell phone on during this meeting because my son is a videographer. He was asked, he's studying in Los Angeles at the Annenberg School. He studies the use of communication techniques, these new ones in particular, text messaging and the internet, as a tool, whether by right or left or center, in the exercise of our freedom of speech. And to what extent does that support democracy, and to what extent might it not? And I just want to share with you that he has called me. He was asked to come and give a video record that could be used later in court. And he does this on the side of the demonstrations in St. Paul. And what I am hearing from him is appalling. I'm going to leave my cell phone on because he is in danger of getting arrested any minute just there trying to document the exercise of freedom of speech. What we're seeing in the newspapers is not all of what's going on. 10,000 people yesterday demonstrated on all kinds of issues. Again, most of them from left of center perspectives, anti-war, but many of them from pro-life and other perspectives. And these were people who came to St. Paul wanting their voices and their pamphlets to be available as delegates from both parties, and this happened in Denver as well, came to elect nominees and finalize their platforms to exercise their freedom of speech in ways that allow them to do so without having thousands of dollars to invite people to parties. The national news, and in particular our own Ithaca Journal, I don't know if you can see this, is really only showing a tiny proportion of what's happening because most of those 10,000 people are peacefully demonstrating. We're not hearing about it in the national press. Our own Ithaca Journal had one photo of a half-naked person dancing in front of the police, sort of taunting the police. I don't know if you can focus in on that. The reality, and you can all Google this and find many sites for yourselves that I'll tell you some of, is more like this photo from the Minneapolis Star Tribune. We've got bicyclists here, kids with their hands over their heads and a force of riot police in full gear herding them. In many cases, in places where they have no place to go to get away,
Journalists have been arrested, national journalists, some of them. The site in Denver, this isn't just St. Paul, although it is. There seems to be a rougher nature to what's happening in St. Paul. In Denver, it was a smaller group, but the site that was allocated for protest was 700 yards away from the door of the convention. That's 7 football fields away, which doesn't, and it was behind an 8-foot fence that was behind some other parts of the staging. So you can Google this for yourselves. There are accounts on the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Salon.com had some good accounts. There are other sites. But why is this relevant to us? And in particular, this week, it was an interesting week to have heard about our sheriff's force and our approach to law enforcement, and to realize that, back to the local sheriff, we might need our force to make similar decisions. As young people today are becoming more vocal, from many perspectives, and I just don't want to see us make the mistake of proclaiming that we cherish the idea of freedom of speech, but ever find our county in the position as acting as though there must be something wrong with the people who come out to exercise that freedom of speech. So I just want to, you know, speak up for thinking about our policy in advance before split-second decisions have to be made. This has come to us before in this county. It came back in the 60s. That was my first days in this county. And because there were cool heads, real disaster was averted here. And I just would like to see us continue that fine tradition here.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Frank, and then Will.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What did you think of that vice presidential choice? Rhetorical question. Just wanted to get you refocused. A couple of items. I'm sorry Jim isn't here, but in case you missed it, the decision on Energy East / NYSEG being sold to Iberdrola was postponed because of the PSC being short. Two members, even though there was a quorum, they decided to hold off. You know, that's been one of my favorite topics for, gee whiz, do we, 15 or 20 years? I'll keep you posted on that in case you're unable to stay abreast of it. Because this board was helpful in supporting the establishment of the Veterans Cemetery up at the old Sampson Air Force Base. I've been on that committee with Senator Nuzzolio, it seems like, for 3 or 4 years, and this board was very supportive of establishing that cemetery. This coming Saturday, if you have an interest, September 6th at 12 o'clock, they're having the official groundbreaking. So you can take a bow, because those of you that were here at the time supported it, and I really want to thank you for that. This next item, well, let me give you the TCAT one real quick. I know we're coming off a Labor Day weekend, and the TCAT board met last Thursday. Some of you may not have had a chance to catch up on the newspapers, but we did extend the 50-cent fare for 2 more months to the end of October, right, Pam?
Yeah.
And there should be an email in your, or a copy of one in your boxes to at least explain it. The last item is a little bit of a sensitive one to me. The heritage that we enjoy in this country is certainly one that we all want to cherish. And in case you missed the article in last week's paper, there is a movement afoot to destroy some 30,000 wild horses out west. And while I'm not an avid advocate in most cases of some things, this seems to be a politically charged item. And I may, after I get some more information from the senator in Arizona, who is spearheading a bill in Washington to prevent this from happening. I may come back to this board for some help. These horses, if you've ever attended the sale up at Cornell, they bring horses in periodically for sale here. And it's really sad when this country has to destroy them. At least from what I understand, there's competing interests, and some of them might be housing interests. So I may come back to this board for some help in trying to advocate for not destroying these horses and letting them do what the National Heritage and what our Bureau of the Interior has money to do. That's my soapbox for this afternoon.
Thank you, Frank. Will Burbank?
Thank you, Mike. Well, I want to climb on the same soapbox that Carol was on and add a little bit to it, because I, too, have been very disturbed by what I have been reading and hearing about of what is happening currently in St. Paul, Minnesota, adjacent to the Republican convention, and specifically the almost random, seemingly, arrest of not only demonstrators, but journalists. Many of you may be familiar with a woman named Amy Goodman, who has a program that airs 5 days a week called Democracy Now! She was yesterday arrested as she was attempting to report, and the arresting officers refused to give her their names, and they took away her press credentials. This is not a new phenomenon. We know that in 2004 there were massive arrests at both the Democratic and Republican conventions. New York City, the numbers were something approaching 1,800 people. Thank you, Dan. Many of whom were held for 2-3 days, essentially until the convention was almost over, and often released without being charged. They were literally just swept off the streets and put out of any place where they could possibly impact the convention visually or in terms of the news coverage. What's interesting is some of these people have taken it upon themselves to sue the city of New York. There was last month on August 24th a $2 million judgment against the city, giving money to 52 of these protesters. If you hadn't heard about it, it was not widely reported. But I think it's important here that we be aware of what's happening outside our boundaries. As Carol said, we need to ensure that we preserve that freedom here, but we need to also be aware that the right to assemble, the right of free speech, is something that truly does take eternal vigilance, and we all, regardless of our political leanings, have a stake in seeing that it's preserved. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Will. Mike Sigler?
I'm actually glad I get to follow all this up, because having been a journalist for 10 years, I believe in the right to free speech. Also, I'm looking at these pictures that Carol handed out, and yeah, they look bad. And you would say a picture says 1,000 words. However, then I actually read the story. And while people do have a right to free speech, I don't believe that people have a right to attack delegates at a meeting like this, smash windows, puncture car tires, and throw bottles. Also in this story that you gave me, they threw bleach solution on some of the delegates. The 80-year-old woman had to get taken to the hospital because of that. Sandbags thrown from bridges at a bus full of people. That, to me, is attempted murder. That's not okay. So while I think it's terrible that Amy Goodman got swept up for not listening to police when they say to back off, I find it remarkable that people are surprised that out of, it says here, 10,000 people, 300 people who threatened violence and actually committed violence in some cases were arrested. Now, granted, was everyone arrested guilty? No, of course not. Was Amy Goodman guilty of anything? No, I don't think she was. But the fact of the matter is, you have groups of people out there who are committing violence and are out to harm people, apparently, from everything that's read in this story that you handed out. So while I think, yes, everyone has a right to free speech, I think that they maybe should keep it a little more contained in regards to their actions as opposed to what they say. So,
we will not be debating this on the floor. This is the purpose of the floor for legislators. Anyone else wish to speak? If not, we'll move on to our report from municipal officials. I see Pat Leary is here from the town of Ithaca. Pat, welcome.
Hi. On a lighter note, just an update on some of the legislation that we've been working on. We did pass the small wind energy facilities law, so we've got that now. We did send back, however, the lakefront residential zone law, also known as the docks law. So that's back in the Codes and Ordinances Committee, and we hope to be probably sending it back to the town board, not in September, but hopefully in October. There's still little things we have to tweak. The Carrollmore planned development zone local law is far enough along that the town board will be referring it to the planning board in September for comment. So that's looking good. Also, today was our first day of work for our director of zoning enforcement. This is Bruce Bates. He was with Shenango County for 10 years, and he was the zoning enforcement officer for 20 municipalities there. So we're glad to have him. There's nothing to report so far today on that. We will be working on some small changes to the noise ordinance to give applicants a little more flexibility as to how far in advance they need to apply. Right now it's 45 days. That may be a little bit too long of a notice, and possibly some institutional application processes for places like Ithaca College, so they don't have to keep coming back for every little thing. The Eruv issue, I reported on that a few months ago, and that was the kind of separation of church and state issue that we had, and the town board declared an Eruv area, an Eruv district, and there was some issues with our sign law, and our Zoning Board of Appeals resolved that and basically said that the little markers on the telephone poles are not signs. So that's all resolved. You may have heard that the town got a grant for $25,000 from New York Ag and Markets to do some planning around agricultural lands, preserving agricultural lands. So that's that was a first. And I think that's all for now. Any questions?
Thanks for your highlights. Any questions for Pat? Kathy?
Yes. Could you just briefly explain to me what the docks law is?
That it's things like length of docks that are allowed. We were getting a lot of requests for variances from people because our maximum dock length was 30 feet without a variance. And that that was really shorter than a lot of docks currently are being built. So we were actually asked by, I think it was the planning board, to take another look at our law and see why 30 feet had been chosen, and we couldn't really find a rationale for it in the minutes. I think Will might?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I was signaling to Mike that I wanted a question. Okay.
So the question was, should it be 50, should it be 60, should it be 40? So far we're pretty well settled on 50. But there's been a lot of discussion by the West Shore Homeowners Association, the people who actually live on the water. There was some other, if you know the topography, a lot of it is like a cliff. So we have setback requirements, and some of that wasn't really practical for some of the property there. So just things like that. But what the impetus was, the length of the docks.
Thank you.
Well,
Pat, I'm very interested to hear that we're moving to a next step on Carrollmore. I'm particularly interested because that happens to be in the district that I represent. But people, if you're not aware, this is a fairly large development that is being proposed for Upper West Hill, 400-some units potentially, that would be very high-end and with very innovative sort of green design. But the next step in going to plan board is not a acceptance of the project, but you said a local law that would do what?
It's changing the zoning in order to have the configuration and some of the commercial elements. We need to rezone the area. And this referral to the planning board, I think at this point, is just for comment. We have to decide whether we want to, whether the town board or the planning board would be the lead agency. And one of the things that held the rezoning up for as long as it has is that we don't want it to be all high-end. We want to have a middle-income component. And negotiating that really took a while, but I think we've come up with something very creative that most parties are happy about.
Other questions? Greg?
Pat, one of the things that's an important issue to some of my constituents is the town land where the city of Ithaca wants to be permitted to build or use a dump. Is there any update on that?
No.
Good answer.
Pam.
Well, as somebody who sits on the TCAT board, I would hope the town of Ithaca will take into consideration that these developments that are being built out there, they all ask and want public transportation. And I think that in this era where we're having such a hard time just paying for our fuel, expanding services into the town, particularly because we have so such a limited, the town has not participated in TCAT. So I hope that you folks will remember this and consider the importance of your being involved in TCAT and helping us fund it. Okay.
We're remembering and we're considering.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
Any other comments? Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat.
Any other representative from the municipality here? We'll move on then. We have a presentation by Chris Talarczyk, is it? And Jackie Thomas regarding our records management master plan. We have a copy of the PowerPoint here, and we certainly have the larger master plan. I think everyone has it on their desk. Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Chris Talarczyk. I'm the architect with Lobella Associates, and I'm presenting the Tompkins County Records Management Master Plan. The impetus of our study was the New York State Archives grant, which we studied, did a needs assessment, and we evaluated building options for a long-term solution to the county's inactive record storage problems. Our management master plan consisted of two parts: the records management program, which is basically analyzing the records needs for existing and future, and evaluation of two pre-selected sites, which is the old library site, which is the present home of inactive records, and a potential new facility at the Bostwick Road Department of Public Works campus. In our program, we documented the type, the volume, and the character of current inactive records. And we also projected those records over the growth over the next 10 years. Some of our findings with our needs analysis was the volume of countywide inactive records will increase by 30% over the next 10 years. 15% of the county's records are scattered off-site in 15 departments. The remainder is at the old library site. There are valuable historic records at the old library that should be maintained in climate-controlled conditions, which presently are not. The vast majority of the existing county inactive records are in a paper format. There's inactive records off-site in the Sheriff's Department, health and mental health, which are confidential and have unique security requirements, which are presently not being met. The old library site is one of the pre-selected sites, which basically is the home of inactive records today. The building was built, as you know, in the early 1960s, and many of the original building systems exist in the building. There haven't been very many upgrades over time. You can see from the aerial image of the old library that there isn't a great area for future expansion. Access is limited, and you can see from the image there really isn't any on-site parking. To convert the library to a record storage building, we have some mandatory code improvements we have to make to the building, and primarily those are sprinkler system installation, as well as some minor handicap accessibility upgrades. Capital improvements, like I had mentioned earlier, many of the original building systems at the old library remain. And they're 50 years old. They've exceeded their life expectancy. So this is a list of some of the capital improvements we would have to make to house records as a long-term solution at the library. One is environmental system replacement. The original heating, ventilating, and air conditioning systems in the building are original, and they would need to be replaced. The existing roof is leaking. There's significant roof ponding on the building, so there's a lot of leaks on the inside of the building. Some of the doors on the perimeter are not locking properly. They would need to be replaced. And as many of you know, the exterior stair on the building is really a liability to the county. It's falling apart. It's a reinforced concrete stair, and it really needs some repair work. There is asbestos in the building that would need to be removed, and there's a couple of other items like ceiling replacement to get at the asbestos and to provide the sprinkler systems as part of the code improvements. We would have to replace ceilings and light fixtures. As far as converting the building to a record storage building, we would include some building separations to provide some better environmental controls inside the building, as well as some security system upgrades. To renovate the library with make all the capital improvements to the building, as well as the code improvements, we'd be looking at approximately $5.8 million. Really, in summary, the old library is an inadequate record storage building. Due to its urban location, we have lack of parking, poor access. We have lack of security because the building essentially is a mixed-use facility. On the ground floor, we have the community justice program, and there isn't adequate security between the community justice program and the record storage on the first floor. There's no available space for future expansion. Existing space is limited for records. Building integrity, we need significant building upgrades. The environmental systems are antiquated, and really isn't a whole lot of operational efficiency with the records department itself because of the existing conditions. This is the ground floor, which is presently occupied by the community justice program, and you can see there's a stair, there's an elevator, all which are accessible to record storage on level one and level two. This is level two, which shows that over the next 10 years, we would have to occupy the existing mezzanine as well as level two to accommodate all of the inactive records for the county. And the green area is the record storage. The blue area is a records processing area. And you can see the upper floor is fully occupied with storage. And because of the configuration of the mezzanine, you're really not using space efficiently. The Bostwick Road site is the prospective site for the new building, and this is basically the Department of Public Works campus, and we were looking at possibly constructing a building in this area. The site has good site access, quick access to county roads, and it has plenty of space for future expansion. This is our prospective building. We have the red portion would be the record storage building. The light yellow portion would be space for future expansion. We have record storage access, would be truck deliveries, and at the top would be your public access to county inactive records. And as I had mentioned earlier, we have what's good about this site is we have all the infrastructure in place, all the site utilities are in place, we have direct access to county roads and space for future expansion. Basically, a mission statement provides a proper environment for the management of records and materials that require permanent protection for historic and lifetime storage, upkeep, and preservation for our new facility. A couple of design goals and objectives, cost-effective building design. We would utilize a pre-manufactured metal building, which is half the price of conventional construction. We would maximize operational efficiency by designing our environmental system in the building to the use, the storage use, rather than the environmental systems being designed for a library use at the old facility. We would maximize storage efficiency by storing our records vertically. We have structural limitations at the library because of the existing library racks would only accommodate storage only 7 feet high, but in a storage facility we could go 14 feet high here. And also we would anticipate future expansion at the building, as well as provide the necessary protection for building assets in the building, which would be security systems, fire alarms, and fire suppression systems. This is a rough schematic of our building program, and you can see from, this is the public parking area, we would have our record storage spaces. It would be subdivided into three areas, which would be general storage, restricted inactive storage, which would be a special secured area, for example, the sheriff's department's records or mental health records that would require unique security requirements. And then we would have an area for that would have special environmental controls to provide storage for county's historical records. Along the loading dock, which we would bring in materials to this area, and we would provide public access in a visitor's support room in which the public could come, or county employees could come to evaluate records without having the records leave the site. Our conceptual project cost for the building would be approximately $2 million. And our conclusions. The importance of a records management program are pretty obvious. I mean, if you improve interdepartmental operational efficiency, we could reduce potential risk through potential litigation, safeguard history, and also relieve a lot of the storage space on departmental sites throughout the county. Some of our findings and comparisons. It at the library, because of the shape of the building, we're basically putting inactive records into an existing space which wasn't designed for inactive records. For the same amount of storage, we occupy 10,000 square feet at the library, but we could occupy only 5,000 feet at the Bostwick road site. At the library, because of the large expansive spaces in the building, we're basically conditioning three times the cubic volume that we would be at the record storage building at the Bostwick road site. So obviously our recommendation is the Bostwick road site. It's a cost benefit to Tompkins County. It's a long-term solution, and there are cooperative opportunities with other municipalities in the state for cooperative ventures for storing records. just a cost comparison to renovate the old library. You can see that the discrepancy is about $3 million between the two sites. There is increased operational costs at the old library. Basically, we're operating a facility on two levels, which would potentially require additional staff. We've got vehicular deliveries in a congested urban area. We're using three times the energy by conditioning three times the spatial volume at the library. And then also build in 2008 at the Bostwick Road site. Construction costs are, over the last 10 years, have increased an average of about 7% per year. So for every year that we wait, the cost goes up, and we can, for the same amount of money, we get less, basically. So that's it.
Thank you, Chris. That would be the quickest capital project in history if we started building in 2008. Pam.
Yeah, I was just wondering
about
the HVAC system. I mean, are you going to have this whole climate control? Are you then going to have a power source that you rebuild? I mean, is that part of this budget, is that you have the ability to use generators or whatever if you have a power?
Absolutely. The budgets that we have would accommodate a generator for the specially climate-controlled area.
Greg?
In the area of the highway department, it looks to me like that can be a fairly dirty area. A lot of dirt around the building and stockpiles of things that are dusty and dirty. Does that play at all into the climate-controlled nature of the building?
We, with the climate-controlled area, there's a lot of filters that we can use for processing incoming air, but there's a lot of environmental, that's part of the environmental system, and those things can be dealt with, basically, with filters and so on and so forth.
Will, Martha, then Frank?
Thank you for the presentation. The second time I've heard it, I'm beginning to get the magnitude of what you've done. I think you've done a very good job laying out the alternatives. The cost-benefit of putting it out there seems obvious. I am, however, concerned about something that I expressed when I heard the first presentation of the committee, that for some of our records, we it would seem useful to have access that was more centrally located. That's probably not true of most of the records, but I'm wondering if there's anything built into this system that would allow people to get there. The site you've designated does not have public transportation at present, and though it would be personally quite convenient to me because it's in my district and very close to where I live, I think it would not be useful to most people. So. Is there anything, any ability within this system that would allow people to access records without having to get out there by car?
Well, we are beginning to have talks with different municipalities, also with the History Center. And the History Center is very open to allowing us to set up computer stations that would allow people to access records that are available at a downtown location, which would be the History Center storefront.
Martha?
We are beginning conversations with the different municipalities in order to have to build a cooperative inactive record storage facility. At the moment, the talks are far too preliminary to be able to talk about in a public venue, but
Aurora, did you have a quick response to Will's question? Yeah.
The public access.
From what I can tell from other municipal buildings, it will be for public access. Most everything is public information. There are a few, as we said, that are private. We're hoping to generate revenue by people coming in to search, make copies. Is that what you mean by public access?
Well, not the need to access the records without having to drive there by car.
Could
documents be electronically scanned to something downtown, or could there be a courier system to downtown?
My hearing aid died.
Actually, I can probably answer that one. When a department agrees to store their inactive records with us, and inactive records are records that are accessed less than every 3 months. We don't want the active records. When the departments do agree to store their records with us, the only person that can actually access that department's records is that department. For example, if the financial records, and if they ask us for the records, we direct them to the department, and they make the request through the department. The department decides whether they're going to release those records. Generally, they do. They then contact us. We, through the courier, or we walk them over if it's a downtown location at the moment. We send the records to the department. The department interfaces with the public as far as the records. There are some records, though, that are historical records that in the next phase of our records management program, we would like to be able to set up an electronic scanning or microfiching or some other process that would allow historic records that can be searched by the public to become very accessible, whether at the History Center or even at a computer located in downtown office.
Thank you.
But that would be the next step in our plan.
Have Martha, Frank, Dooley, then Mike Hattery.
Well, I'm going to follow this one up and then also ask a second question. So you're saying that the departments that would access, that would use this, are not necessarily burdened by the fact that they'd have to get into a car. In other words, we have a lot of...
Absolutely not. We have, at the Boswick Road site, we already have courier service to the Public Works facility. This facility is just up around the corner. The departments would call or email the records department. We would send it via courier, usually the same day or the next day.
Okay. I'm very interested in the conversation about municipalities sharing space, and I'm curious about other existing spaces. I think this is clearly, you've made yet another good case why the old library is an albatross. So, you know, thank you for reinforcing what we, you know, heard in many other situations before. But has there been an exhaustive search of other spaces that might currently exist? There's the Hanshaw Road, you know, Cuga Press space, what's available at the town. The idea of necessarily going to build a new building because the old library is dysfunctional, I'd like to be assured that we're not overlooking some existing spaces that might be available. For one thing, this function is not all that's in the old library, so there's that other question.
One of the problems, the reason why the records should be moved, regardless of where they go, you have to have, what?
Use the microphone, please.
You can't hear me either? How's your hearing aid?
But I can read your lips.
One of the reasons these records have to be moved is that over time they will disintegrate. And access of the public to these records now, you know, you show them a deed and people can, you know, it's just, I wish we could say we're going to be around here in 100 years, but the quality of the air has to be special for paper and maps. What are the plastic that we use for maps? Everything is fading, and regardless of where we go, the most important thing to me is the air quality, and not if it's hot or cold, but that it's the air is that which is best for paper. And we're going to name the building the Aurora Building.
The question is, has there been any look at other existing spaces?
Martha, we did not. And the reason we did not is because of the limited funds that we had in the grant. And in order to be able to compare a new building to what's existing. That was all the money that we had for with the grant. And so we have not done a search of existing properties throughout the county.
Frank Proto.
Thanks, Mike. Just quickly to add something to what Martha said, the Cayuga Press site is a leased spot. I'm not sure that that would be as adequate as even staying in the old library, because we own it already, the public owns it, or building a site on our own property. But one site that might be considered is the reuse, and I understand the Planning Advisory Board is looking at the area by the existing health department for alternative uses, and that might, county owns that 90 acres up there already. But two questions for you, Jackie. First, does the longer report, let me ask both of them first, does the longer report cover other participating entities for funding, like the archives and LGRAC, because they often have some funding for that type of thing? But let me ask the other question. Second one is, has there been a look at what it costs us to stay in the existing space on an annual basis?
I think in the longer report, I flipped through it before the presentation, there are some numbers about ongoing operational costs in the present library.
In the library?
Yes.
And what about the option on additional funding from other sources?
Well, there are grants that we can apply for to help offset the cost of the interior of the building. I think the maximum at the moment for New York State Archives grant is $75,000. However, if we have an intermunicipal cooperative, even one other municipality that wants to store their records with us and be part of this cooperative, that increases to $125,000. If we have an intermunicipal agreement with another municipality, there is a $500,000 grant that we would then be eligible to apply for to help offset the cost of a new building. So as Aurora and I are working with the municipalities to see if there is interest in the intermunicipal cooperative with the inactive record storage, that does increase our opportunities for grants.
Quick follow-up, Frank?
Yeah, just a quick one. Based on the existing costs, what is the impetus for doing this quickly as opposed to delaying it for a couple of years? Other than that, you'd like a new building, Jack.
Well, the sooner the cheaper, for one thing. We do run the risk of records that are currently disintegrating at a rapid pace in the old library. There are security issues. New York State Archives has been communicating with us that, you know, it is a mandate that we properly store our records, which we are not meeting, you know, all of the necessary requirements to properly store our records. And towns and villages are also running out of space for their records. And if we can arrange this to be able to build this and get their interest and get the cooperation, perhaps we can save not only the county money, but also towns and villages money. The utility costs to heat the second floor and the mezzanine of the old library are very large. We could we could save those. It's also not very energy efficient. And I want a new building. I need a building.
I'll remind people, yes. This is not in our capital program. We're not discussing it, to my knowledge, the capital program of 2008. I have six people.
I actually did submit a PAR request for the 2009 capital.
That's for 2009.
Budget.
Okay. I have six people lined up to speak, but Dooley is first.
Well, I'll just ask one question. When we heard the report at the committee level, there was at least one department who was unable to provide the actual volume, their volume requirements. Has that blank been filled in now?
It has not been filled in completely yet. We are working with that department, but it's such a massive and huge project that it's going to take us a little while to be able to get definitive numbers. We did make an assumption.
Mike Hattery.
I didn't look at the report in detail, but I was wondering what kind of assumptions you made about those records that can be transitioned to other machine-readable formats or tighter electronic formats. What kind of assumptions were made in the study about those possibilities?
We couldn't really make any assumptions. Depends on a lot of
Chris, could you use the mic?
We couldn't make any assumptions on how converting records into electronic media. We just couldn't accurately predict how fast that would occur, or if it would occur, and when it would occur.
I presume there's a component of these that can be converted. Is that right?
With enough money and staff, anything can be converted.
I know, legally, some of them had to be kept in their current form.
I think they've changed that.
On to Carol.
How many years into the future are you projecting that this would meet our current needs? My questions were longevity questions as well, both in terms of...
10 years.
Okay.
We did a 10-year. And that's without any of the proposed expansion. That was just the original building.
And then the answer to the question, what does it cost us to not do this, to do nothing?
Well, it would be operational cost to run the library, and we did not include any figures or utility budgeting. Maybe Arel could shed some light on that. But basically, you know, the library, the amount of money that you're paying to heat and cool the library is enormous, because those spaces are large, expansive spaces, and they have poor environmental controls, and you're not utilizing the space. So a lot of the costs are operational, which would be, you know, the heating and cooling costs. And also construction, if we're going to compare a new building, construction costs are increasing 7% a year. So, you know, you wait 3 years, that's 20% already. So I think coupled with the new construction costs and the operational costs of the old library, and then the risk the security risks you have, the risks to damage to records, and some of those factors. So it kind of all rolls together.
And what would it cost us to just look at the use of other existing space to meet the need in the next 10 years, until we know more about the impact of the new technologies on our needs for the future? What would it cost us to do
another
that
grant,
part of
probably.
The study?
Second grant.
Another
grant.
Grant.
In the same level of this grant.
Which was?
I have Mike Stigler, Pam McAsee, Martha
Roberts.
I'm sorry,
Mike, how much was this grant?
Jackie, how much was this grant?
Yeah.
$17,500.
Thank you. Mike Stigler.
My two questions are quick. The first one is, was this the first time that we've actually kind of explored an alternative use to the old library as it being a library?
The answer is no.
No.
Any chance that we can probably, I don't know, take the old library off the table at some point so that we don't keep studying the alternative uses for something? I mean,
second,
I'd be happy knocking the thing down.
Right? Second question.
Is there a department that's like over and above, like the largest user, like uses it, needs us 80% of the time?
Yes.
Which one would that be?
District Attorney's Office.
And there's no way that we should move it like as close to them as humanly possible?
Yeah.
I don't think the state will be happy if we do that.
District Attorney files will not fit in this space.
You can't just put them in our office.
No.
Pam?
You'd have
Pam
to build them a new building.
Well, I think this is a wonderful idea. I think that it is by far the cheapest solution. I think that if we looked at other buildings, we would have to retrofit those buildings. I mean, the whole point One of the major points of doing this is to have environmental controls, and most facilities don't have those kinds of controls. So I think that this is a very very reasonable price to be paying for this. If and when we build this, the History Center, the thinking is that the History Center will put its materials in that facility, and so they will no longer need a large storage space, which we are paying for in rental, so that would be a cost that we would experience a reduction in costs for them. So I think it's a very rational solution, and I hope that we move forward with it.
Martha, then Jim Dennis.
Oh, Pam, you opened up a new one. So are you saying, is that right? We wouldn't be asked to do the History Center renting?
Steve, what? Can you clarify, please? Steve?
Yeah, there are three or four levels of this. What you're looking at now is a study that was paid for records management. And this is just addressing the existing records management. There's a whole other topic about EDMS, electronic data management, which has to be studied and figured out before you make a move. The third piece is the cooperation with tourism, with the History Center, and so on, and potentially the other municipalities. So they're blocks, they're building blocks. You've seen the first one. This is, what would you do with records for Tompkins County, and how would you handle them? How do you do that most efficiently? And this is an excellent study. It's an excellent answer. It's just not a complete answer.
Okay, this space wouldn't accommodate the History Center?
No, not in this configuration.
Okay. So back to my actual question, my original question. This is a good start. I agree with that. If I could just kind of lay out the things that I would need to know before I would make be able to make a decision on, cast a vote on this, I would like to know, not necessarily the answer right now. I can't remember whether the Center of Government program included storage, this was not included in the Center of Government. Okay. I would like to see how, as I said earlier, existing spaces, I really need to know what's out there in terms of existing spaces before I'd be prepared to invest in a new space. But also I'd like to see how this would fit in the context of the domino effect on this whole center of government idea. How would this affect the 20-year master capital program? If we did this quickly, then you've got the Justice Center using just a tiny part of this building. Does that move the whole project up on the priority list? I'd like some thinking to go into that before I'd be able to say, yeah, let's go build that building. I want to see the whole thing mapped out a little bit better. But this is great to sort of answer the basic question. Yeah, we can get a functional, usable, better quality space at a reasonable price. So I appreciate that. But those are some questions that if you want to respond, okay. But okay.
We'll bring them back.
Jim Dennis and then Kathy.
I raised my hand. It was Monday. Oh. I was actually going to say what Steve said, that it was only a small study about a small part of the records, and we had seen it at the HR committee and thought that Chris and Jackie had done a fine job then. The other thing I want to say is that I'm going to be really supportive of it if it somehow can end up in Enfield or Ulysses.
And Kathy Lou Cerrera.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, this is a real good example of consensus building in process. It's something we need, and I tend to agree with much of what Pam said. The concept of it is one that I would support. Of course, we're going to try and make it as cost-effective as we can and work it into the overall capital needs. We appreciate y'all doing this. It's a need. Y'all definitely justified it. It's just a matter of us figuring out the smartest and most cost-effective way to do it.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Aurora, who's not gone. Thank you, Aurel, for being here. We're going to move on. Regarding Chair's report, I just will draw your attention to your red folders. There are a couple memos in there that you should peruse and catch up with. Also, there's a box out in our lobby here. United Way is taking personal items and food donations for the Day of Caring, Steve Garner Day of Caring, on September 11th. So if you want to add there, that's great. In terms of chair's appointments, we have the Workforce Investment Board appointments. All these terms expire on June 30th, 2011. Robert Bantle is the business rep. Barbara Blanchard, a business rep. Susan Samus, a business rep. Patricia Carey, TANF Employment Program Rep. Dami Haraf, Community-Based Organization Rep. Jean McFeeters, Economic Development Organization Rep. Diane Braddock, WIA Title I Rep. Nancy Zaylor, an at-large rep. And Debbie Chadwick, a business rep. Julie.
I just had a nice dinner with Barbara Blanchard in Saratoga Springs this past week, and she has sold her house in Ithaca. She is relocated, so I'm a little surprised to hear you appointed her.
Okay, that's news to me. I didn't know she had moved. We'll look
and her
into
application, there's no application for her in here.
We'll look into that. Thank you. Anybody else? Carol?
I looked at these appointments, and they're all fine people and fine appointments. Are any of them, am I incorrect that of eight or nine, however many they end up, all of them are reappointments? Did we get any applications from new, possible new members?
According to Alan Peterson, we did not get new applications, but I can look into the Barbara Blanchard one about her relocation. Move on to reports by County Administrator, Steve Witcher.
Okay, the budget is complete and it's being printed and organized and packaged up for you. Your book should be available tomorrow. We won't be releasing any information about the budget until Thursday or Friday. We'll be having the meeting on Monday where we'll go through step by step. But the short news is that we met your goals that you set for us, and I'm actually quite pleased. I think the departments did a really fine job. The question about what happens with the remainder of the cuts that the governor announced and what might potentially be happening after that is still up in the air. I have not got a summary of the department impacts yet. I don't expect that for a little while, but I will have that to you for Monday also. And then you'll also see how we have accommodated that. But we have given you the ability to address that problem if it does arise, and I think we have an adequate solution for you. I will have to ask for an executive session, okay? Brief, I hope, for negotiations. And I would like to just take a minute of your time about Carol Chalk, the other meeting, I think it was last meeting, brought up the issue about gas wells and fracking and all this, and Martha's done quite a bit of work on that. I would, based on the very short investigations that I've done, suggest that you really take this seriously and put some resources behind it and try to figure out exactly what the county needs to do. When you talk about rural water supplies, there's potential here for some real, real serious impacts, and you really have to take this seriously and recognize it as a major responsibility and something you have to step up to. I have just been shocked by what I've been seeing. So.
And Joe Mariana has been here one day already.
Joe has been here for one day. He knows 90% of the county already. He's ready to move on. He did say that he got so many really great ideas from Tompkins County that he was going to take them back to Onondaga County, and they were going to give him such a salary increase that he wouldn't be able to come. He's very excited to come. And the transition's working really nicely. I think our next session is going to be on on public safety, emergency response, and core performance, and then he's going to go to the IDA. So we're taking the county in sections and just trying to walk him through exactly where we are and what we're doing in each area. And it's just wonderful to work with somebody that has so much experience. And just give him the information, he absorbs it like that, and he's ready to go.
He's here about one day a week.
Real dream.
Yep. Any questions? Martha?
about the oil and gas drilling. I have asked Steve Nicholson, chair of the EMC, to put it on their agendas, and he's agreed to, like, and I'm not sure, maybe you know which subcommittee. Is that the energy subcommittee? One of the subcommittees?
Yeah, we're talking about it. Yeah.
Great. Okay, terrific. And I've actually had a look at the preliminary PDQ agenda for September for next week, and there might be a little extra time, and maybe I might be able to add something into onto that for PDQ. I agree with you. This is something we need to look at. I think there's a lot of questions. I don't think the DEC is on top of this. And okay, thanks for bringing it up.
Carol and Frank.
Yeah, as we're looking at the effects of the gas drilling, EMC is a great place to send it. I don't want to leave out the potential impact, maybe something from our highway department. There's a process to ask them to look at the impact on the roads, or whether that would be included, what the EMC would think to include that, and then on water overlaps as well.
And Frank Crowder.
Both intake and outgo.
Thanks, Mike. Just to piggyback on Martha's suggestion, we have already pursued looking for a speaker at the Water Resources Council for our October meeting, and hopefully we'll, as chairman of the WRC, I can report on that to you. But I would challenge Steve, before you leave, if you have some suggestions that we should be looking at, because it of the relationship, obviously, to water and the official charge by this body and the state to the WRC as the purveyor of water for the county. I'd appreciate it if you could come forward with a list and perhaps discuss it with Jonathan, because there not only are there issues directly related to the water, there certainly are some legal issues here. And in order to avoid some knee-jerk reaction, I think we need to approach it in a very sensible way so that we can get some core data. It's such a new process, the hydrofracturing is so new.
I would suggest that the county really seriously look at trying to figure out how homeowners are going to get a valuable baseline report for their wells before this process starts. For me, that's what I'm looking at. I think it's incredibly serious. So we don't need to. This is committee work, but the water is the key. I think
if you wouldn't mind communicating with some of that, I think probably even the Board of Health ought to be involved because of the getting a baseline on wells is easy to do, but it's costly.
Well, it has to be defined correctly. That's the problem.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Frank. We'll move on to a report from County Attorney. Jonathan?
No report.
Question for Jonathan?
Sure.
Jonathan, at the last meeting, we had a presentation on the eminent domain potential regarding the tower and that individual that came before us. Is there any update on that piece of ground that you can talk about publicly?
Well, maybe I can give a slight update in the executive session, but not much has happened since. I mean, as you know, they served their papers the same day the attorney was here to speak to you during the public hearing. We have an opportunity to respond to their papers, but I believe the date is September 17th or something like that. So we have not responded. Their attorney did send a letter to the judge, but it didn't really contain any new information, anything different than what he said here.
Fact-finding is being prepared.
Yeah, there will, as I mentioned before, probably prior to your next legislative meeting, propose findings of fact for the legislature to review. And, you know, I'll have an opportunity before this legislature votes on that to either talk with you about it in executive session or send you a memorandum or something about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. David Squires, Finance Director. Thank you. Are there any resolutions to be added or withdrawn from the agenda? If not, we'll move on to the consent agenda. These are resolutions not expected to be controversial that can pass in a single vote. I'll read them out. If you want to have them taken off, please say so before I finish reading. Resolution A under Public Safety Committee, Amendment of Bylaws, Criminal Justice Advisory Alternative to Incarceration Board. Resolution B, Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, authorizing the filing of an application for a state grant in aid for municipal waste reduction and or recycling project and signing of the associated state contract under the appropriate laws of New York State, January 2002 through December 2004. Resolution C, authorizing the filing of an application for a state grant in aid for municipal waste reduction and or recycling project and signing of the associated state contract under the appropriate laws of New York State, 2005 through December 2007. Resolution D.
Off.
Okay. Thank you. Resolution E, authorizing acceptance of a Federal Aviation Administration grant for deconstruction of the hangar complex formerly occupied by Taganic Aviation Corporation, Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport. Under Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee, Resolution F, making a negative declaration of environmental significance in relation to Resolution G of 2008, authorizing a contract with Tompkins County South Soil and Water Conservation District to implement flood hazard mitigation program projects. And Resolution G, authorizing a contract with Tompkins County Soil and Water Conservation District to implement flood hazard mitigation program projects. And we have no appointments. Who would like to move consent agenda? Frank moves it. Less than seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. We'll move on to committee reports. Budget and Capital Committee, Nathan Shinagawa, Chair.
Thank you, Mike. The Budget and Capital Committee did not have a meeting, last week? And we will be having our meetings with everybody, starting with our expanded Budget and Capital Committee meetings. And again, that's going to be starting on Monday. And I have an announcement related to that. So I got my, as you know, I'm in graduate school, and I got my schedule finalized. And I have a mandatory class from 3 to 4 o'clock on Mondays and Wednesdays, okay? Well, you know, and which is just basically the worst time since all my committee meetings are on Mondays and Wednesdays. So my professor knows I'm going to be skipping class quite often. and also, I'm for these meetings, for the ones that are on Mondays and Wednesdays, Mike will be chairing the first 30 minutes. And then for the remaining, you know, 3.5 hours, I'll be chairing the rest of the meetings. And so just wanted to give you a heads up about that. And I'm sorry about that situation. I can't really do anything about it unless I quit school. Which I could do. This does come first for me. Let's see. Also, I think that's it. And so see everybody next Monday at 3:15, I believe.
Thank
or
you.
I won't see you at 3:15, but I'll see
you. Thanks. Public Safety Committee, Greg Stevenson, Chair.
We haven't met since the last meeting, and our next meeting will be September 19th, 2008. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Greg. I think Leslie had a question for Nathan that I didn't see.
Not so much for Nathan, but I was looking at the budget calendar, and somewhere in my memory, I remember we had a public forum and a public hearing that were both scheduled, and I don't see a public hearing.
It should be on the Monday.
On our calendar.
I don't have it.
That's the forum. Yeah. The forum on 7 to 9.
The who?
There's a public forum.
I see the public forum. Weren't they two? We had a public forum.
Right.
And then we had a public hearing.
Public hearing is the second Tuesday of November.
Okay.
It'll be November 10th,
during the legislative
Monday.
Oh. Thank you.
November 11th is a holiday.
Okay.
So what day will it be?
The legislature.
Monday, November 10th, but a resolution will come forward to the legislature to establish that.
Okay.
It's not on the calendar yet.
Because we've only been looking at September and October.
And we will have that again.
Budget stuff before.
Correct.
Okay.
But what you're looking at is September and October, so the November hearing isn't on that.
Right? And the November hearing isn't what happened at our legislature meetings.
That's the formal public hearing.
That's
always
held
in
November.
All right. I'm getting old. Thank you.
Move on to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. No report. Health and Human Services Committee. Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The committee will meet tomorrow at 3 o'clock. There's a resolution with regard to it was passed in the consent. Oh, wait a minute. No, it hasn't. It was pulled off the consent agenda, the resolution of intent regarding the facility for the County Office of the Aging. Even though that's coming to the Public Works, the Health Committee did have an opportunity to review it, and there's some question coming from as a result of that.
Okay.
One other comment.
Sure.
I've asked the departments, and I spoke with Steve about it just before this meeting. I've asked the departments that report to the Health Committee, Health and Human Services Committee, and I've also asked the Human Services Coalition, even though it might be a little premature, but to come up with at least a preview of what the state cuts, the $540 million that the state has been talking about, and what the effect might be on their budgets. And Steve said that he's asked the very same question, and we're waiting for an evaluation to come forward with regard to that, because that would be interesting going into the budget process.
Question, Pam?
Yes. Did I understand you, Frank, that the resolution D, we won't act on that tonight?
No. It was pulled off the consent agenda.
It'll come under F&I, I believe.
Okay. Well, all right. That's fine. I'll raise it under F&I.
And Nathan?
Also, related to my schedule again, I just wanted to let everybody know, too, that with Health and Human Services, I won't be attending the meeting tomorrow, but I will be skipping class to attend the ones in October, November, or December.
Okay. Anything else about your schedule?
I'm not advocating. No.
We're going to move on to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Leslie being Claiborne chair.
No one is allowed to raise anything under F&I. And Resolution D, just let it go. F&I, I'm just kidding. F&I met on August 21st. One of the key things I want to point out, and for the listening construction public, 55 Brown Road, I've been asking the Commission of Public Works to let us know what's going on in terms of deconstruction and construction bids. Deconstruction bids are now out or request. They are supposed to be received by September 4th. It's the deadline. And at the September 18th committee meeting, we hope to take action towards awarding the bid. Work on deconstruction in the interior of the building should begin in the way in the fall, and that's what the bids are for. Construction bids will come out probably October, mid to late October, around October 23rd, so, and due in November. So please be looking for them. The rest of it, most of it you dealt with on the consent agenda, except for the one that was just pulled off. I do want to speak a little bit about a solid waste facility. We had a very fabulous report from Barb Ekstrom and some of her staff. She stated that the work done by Lynette Short with the assistance of Kat McCarthy and Stephanie Egan in developing hundreds of Go Green initiatives has gained the recognition as the best in the country. So I do want to give them kudos on the record. We're ahead of the pack. Also, the Sustainability Committee and the Environmentally Preferred Procurement Resource Guide, which you will all get. They're coming out. They have been recently being developed. The state passed a resolution setting forth green procurement and sustainability with regards to materials. So we are setting the standards here. The state just sort of passed that. The award that we are getting would provide an additional $250,000 to the $300 in the fund balance, and that's a good thing. Budget outlook is very favorable. This is one of our enterprise units for folks who are out there listening. We're about $400,000 ahead in our balance, our fund balance anticipated. And most of it is due as a result of recycling revenues due to a lot of the environmental educational work that's being done. So they're investing a lot in educating the public about recycling and reuse, and it's paying off not just for the environment but also for their budget. I think those were the main things I wanted to highlight from our meeting. And like I said, Resolution D has been pulled because that's the other thing we talked a lot about. That's my report.
Question before you move the resolution. Frank Proto.
Listen, in a recent set of the Facilities Committee minutes, there was comment about by Greg Potter about the unexpected cost of technology infrastructure, not just for that building, but tying into public safety and tying into emergency services. Will the bid that you're discussing or describing that we're supposed to see, well, first of all, are we supposed to see it, or will just public safety, facilities see it? And will that include the technology estimate? And the other question is, will there exist someplace a set of these for any of us that are interested in keeping abreast of the costs that are associated with 55 Brown Road?
A set of the bids that are coming in?
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll be in existence, but the bids are for deconstruction. So the technology piece I'll have to refer to Ed to see if the construction bids would include that as well. That's a very good suggestion.
Do you know what the timetable is for receipt of those?
Construction bids? I think it's November. Did I just say that?
You did.
And is that the piece that will have the technology item in it, Ed?
Portion of the bill from Road Building, not the entire airport area.
No, but from Greg's pardon me, from Greg's write-up, it implied that all of that was going to be done. Maybe it's sequential. Can you say something about that?
Well, it may be, but there are costs associated with moving the health department to Brown Road that are part of the health department capital project. There's also an ongoing effort by ITS to improve the overall connectivity to the public safety, airport, right, emergency response. That's not part of the Brown Road project.
Is that part of a capital program?
I think it's part of the ITS budget on an as-we-can basis, and he may bring elements forward for additional funding as it develops.
Right.
It's so being done incrementally now.
Martha Robertson.
You finished?
Yeah, he's finished.
Very quickly, I know we're ahead of Philadelphia in recycling because every time we go visit my son, we come back with a trunk load of recyclables that they can't take care of, and we recycle them
I'm
here.
I'm telling you, Martha.
You're doing it for the nickel deposit, Martha. Come on.
Any other comments before we go to the resolution? Carol Chalk.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to the environmental, the preferred procurement resource guide, environmentally preferred procurement. I took that home and glanced through it at a moment thinking it was going to be pretty dry reading. And I was amazed. They have done an incredible job of going through item by item, tied to many factors of environmental sustainability, the acid content and other contents, and then where you can buy these products locally for the ones that they recommend. So I would like to see something done with that, if we can, even beyond the county. I don't know if the school system, Cornell, Ithaca College, TC3, or other large employers might be interested in having that information.
We can talk. Right. We were going to discuss this at committee because we're going to bring it then, and so we can entertain that idea. I do want to say one quick thing is it's not a dump. It's the solid waste facility, as we have been corrected. And that rang true for me this weekend when someone was moving, and for the first time, who lived in Ithaca for a while, had gone to the recycling center. And he stopped by our house to say, I went to the dump, but I can't call it a dump because the foliage as you enter does not quite say this is a place to just dump stuff. It was very beautiful. And so, again, kudos to the solid waste staff and facilities and everybody else who's responsible for just making it so beautiful. It's not a dump. That's my report. Resolution D.
It is resolution of intent regarding facility for the county office for the aging.
Is there a second? Frank Proto seconds. Is there discussion? Frank, then Dooley, and then onward.
I didn't have questions with regard to the body of the resolution. I had questions with regard to the last resolve because of some of the items that have occurred that are the bulleted items on the second page. And let me just ask these, Leslie, and you can take them in any order you like. The second bullet that speaks to work being done or perhaps being done with labor that would be paid prevailing wages. Mm-hmm. My question would be, does this restrict the type of bidding that could take place to any particular segment of the population, or is it open to anyone? The second is the fifth bullet. It indicates that the county would retain the right to occupy the space at no cost, et cetera, et cetera, for a time frame to be agreed upon. I would suggest that some wording ought to be added there that we could occupy the building for a minimum of X number of years. That would be equivalent to the value of the county's contribution to the building. The present wording seems to leave that wide open.
Ed, do you want to speak to that?
Let me finish going down the list here a minute, Mike. The sixth bullet, that the facility, while it's being built, would ultimately be owned by Lifelong, that implies to me that there still seems to be some negotiation as to when we would give up what we have and when Lifelong would step in, and maybe somebody could expand on that. And my fourth comment is, because there isn't a bullet, do we have an opportunity, you know, in any project like this, other things come up? Do we have any leeway in discussing or continuing discussions with Lifelong as the project's going on, because things might take place that we haven't foreseen?
So I'll take a stab at most of them, Ed. We talked about some of this in committee meeting, and we resolved that this was a resolution of intent, that we meet some of the things you were talking about will come out once we get to the point of an agreement, and then a resolution will come to us. This was a resolution to, you know, let's proceed with, we intend to sort of proceed with this. But the agreement around all of the things, the length of occupancy, the time frame, who owns and not own, a lot of those things will have to come to us in agreement and resolution form for us to agree upon. This was just meant to be one of intent that, yeah, we do want to look into this and go forward with checking it out. I did not quite understand your question about the prevailing wage.
I have a different understanding of the word intent, and particularly since this entire bulleted section is under a resolved, perhaps if you moved all of that to a whereas, it might have the intention that you're describing. But my concern is that by putting in the second bullet that any labor would be paid the prevailing wage, my question is, does that lock out any other bidders other than, does it favor a certain group of individuals over another group?
So people who don't pay prevailing wages wouldn't be able to bid, is that what you're asking?
Yeah, I mean, are we, well,
let
that
me
may be a question
Jonathan.
For Jonathan.
Under state labor law, when a county bids a public work, we're required to pay prevailing wage.
So there is no...
An issue here is when we're dealing with a private entity, could they bid and not pay prevailing wage? So what this is a statement of intent that when we bid, whether it's us or them, prevailing wage will be paid. That doesn't eliminate anybody from bidding. Now, some people might say that those entities which pay prevailing wage entity anyway may have an advantage versus those who were not paying prevailing wage to begin with. But it doesn't eliminate anybody from bidding.
Everybody can bid.
Ed, did you have anything to add?
Let's see. I had Dooley next.
Well, what about the rest of the questions?
I think Leslin tried to answer them in a global fashion.
Well, how about if we answer them in a local fashion? What about the addition of other items, Leslin? The flexibility to the bullet that's not there.
Explore other options.
Are you talking about the part that I was talking about when we get to an actual agreement of what it is we will be doing and responsible for?
Okay, so that's an opportunity to add any other items that may come up but we haven't thought of at this time?
I'm sure that that opportunity will exist, Frank, as long as we get to an agreement. This is not our agreement. But yes, there will be the opportunity for us to add those things.
Okay.
So that we are specific in what it is that we will be doing and accepting.
Thanks.
Dooley.
Yes, thank you. I'm on page one of the resolution. The next to the last whereas ends by saying it could accommodate the future space needs of both Lifelong and the County Office for the Aging. I would like to insert for 10 years because that's what the study said it was for. That's what we just, well.
Is that friendly to the mover and seconder?
Julia, I'm sorry. Tell me where you are on page
next to the last whereas.
After the phrase Lifelong and County Office of the Aging, add the phrase for 10 years. That's being proposed as friendly. Is it friendly to Leslin and the seconder, Frank?
Yeah.
I just want to ask Dooley a question because I didn't hear her.
Dooley, clarification from Leslin.
I'm sorry, what?
The clarification is that you are asking to have that included because?
Because their report said that they had looked at the needs for 10 years.
Over a 10-year period, the feasibility study that was done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I think that's all that the language said.
So is that friendly?
That's fine.
Okay, that's now in. Anything else, Dooley?
Yes. On page 2, the first bullet actually belongs under the first resolve instead of the second resolve. It's a fairly global statement. The intent bullets are more specific.
Is moving that to the first resolve friendly to the mover and seconder?
That's where it should
moving
be.
What? I can't
the first
hear
bullet.
Dooley.
On the second page where the second resolve is,
yes.
The first bullet under that.
The cooperative effort?
Belongs under the first resolve. There were two bullets in the draft under the first resolve.
That's fine.
It just got inserted.
Yeah,
that's
fine.
Is it okay with you, Frank, seconder? Yes.
And it got shifted.
That's all I had raised my hand for, but Frank's question about can there be some language that would allow the county or COFA to be involved as issues arise during rollout of the project is an interesting one, and I wondered if you wanted to suggest adding another bullet that we want included in the language of the agreement, something that allows that kind of flexible participation. I don't have wording.
That's not excluded by not including it.
No, but he said the bullet that isn't there.
That's
so I
true.
Was trying to think about a way to put it in.
Can you restate the first part of what you said because that would cover it, Dooley?
Include language in the
that both COFA and
agreement.
The county.
And I didn't know how to word it because I wasn't sure what you wanted, but it's possible.
If someone comes up with language before we vote, we can move to add it. We're going to move on to Pam Magasey.
Well, I was not here at the last meeting. And
we missed you.
And so I did not hear the report on this. And just looking at the resolution, I'm having a little bit of trouble. If we are helping to build this facility, and then we are being allowed to live there rent-free besides sort of the maintenance of day-to-day maintenance and for an unknown amount of time, and that the building would ultimately be owned by Lifelong, it feels as if, I don't know, it feels as if the county I'm very much in favor of this working, but it just feels as if we are giving away a lot here without being clear about what we are doing. Now, I know this is a resolution of intent, but we're so clear in laying some of these out in this last resolve that it makes me uncomfortable. So I would hope that somebody can help reassure me here, and there's nothing attached here that just gives any explanation to any to some of this stuff. So I need some more words here to help me understand why we are doing this the way we are doing it.
Reassurance, Leslin?
Carol has her hand up. Maybe okay. She has something to add.
Carol,
before you give that reassurance, I have similar concerns, but that lead to a whole different conclusion that we're putting in too much detail that ties lifelong into things that they may not be able to agree with as well. I absolutely agree that we ought to be proceeding with this and that we ought to be passing tonight, if possible, a statement of intent. I have no problem. I mean, all of the whereases I agree with. The first bullet point and the second bullet point that now moved, you know, that we would develop it, that it would serve both organizations, that a cooperative effort should be undertaken to develop such a facility. And then I would include the very last bullet point saying that specific terms would be the subject of an agreement to be entered into between Tompkins County and Lifelong. But I'm concerned that all of those bullet points in between, before you actually dot the I's and cross the T's, while you're negotiating what the agreement will be between us and Lifelong, tie each of us into things that as you negotiate and give and take over how many years and who's paying what costs can't be decided upon ahead of that negotiation and the costs in front of you. So I would personally be more in favor of doing the statement of intent but taking out all of those bullet points in between. So it would be the numbers 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And again, because my concerns are not only that we don't know what the county wants to hold out for in this agreement, but also we don't want to prohibit Lifelong from, which is a nonprofit entity, trying to serve the needs that are going to grow exponentially of the aging population into the future, that we don't want to tie them into things that they won't be able to afford in order to get the building built either.
This joint venture is a bit of a dance. This resolution of intent is the beginning of expressing a direction we want to head in to give some assurance to the Lifelong Board as they try to give us assurance in the opposite direction. This does not lock us into almost anything except being cooperative, which I think we're all agreeing to, and I think these bullets are not locking us truly into anything except a direction to proceed in. Other comments? Pam?
But if it's an intent, then why are we being so specific? I mean, what we want to convey here is our commitment to work through an agreement. But when we're laying these things out so specifically at this point, I just don't understand why we need to do that. I think we need to lay out specifically that it is our intention to work with Lifelong and come up with a mutually agreeable way of building this or creating this joint effort. But I have real problems with these bullets, too.
Have Leslin, then Kathy.
The only two bullets that I see there that I would be in agreement in taking out, because I don't see the value of them right now, is bullet 6 and 7. No.
Are you counting from?
Bullet 5 and 6.
And they start with?
What is the language of the?
In return.
The one that says, in return for the county's participation, blah, 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 the no cost prorated, and if such a facility is built, it would ultimately be owned by Lifelong. I don't see anything. Is it our intent that we will pay, that we want construction and deconstruction to be paid at prevailing wages. It is our intent that we would like to stress long-term energy efficiency and reliance on renewable sources. Is it our intent? I mean, those are things I see as intent. Even spelling out more of this, I see coming in agreement, you know, as we decide what would that really look like. Is it our intent that we would have a role in the design approval as well as lifelong, that it's not just one of us? Yes, it is. And so I saw some value to some of this. I didn't put this together, but I saw value in some of it, and we discussed this at a committee meeting. And so it's surprising to me to hear some of the comments now for those who were at the committee meeting. And also, the you know, some of the terms outlined above, and we can add some language around flexibility, as Frank had been suggesting that there are things, but it says here already. There are terms outlined above, and they will all be subject to an agreement. You know, those terms and others will be subject to an agreement entered into between Thomas County and Lifelong. So I'm having a difficulty understanding why we're having a hard time with expressing what our intent is in some of these bullets. I mean, we have intents on a whole bunch of other things. You know,
these are just some very then Dooley, then Frank, ones. Then Martha, but Kathy's first.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think this resolution is exemplary because it allows us to walk through some of the things that are our intentions, and I agree completely with Leslin that as this went through the committee process, it's allowing us to have an opportunity to discuss it. The resolution of intent doesn't bind us. I'm listening to the desire to remove and add and things like that, and for myself, I don't feel that strongly about that. What I'm interested in is the process that we're going through, which I think is a very good process. It's not being rushed, and it's not being dictated, and there's a way that we're all getting a chance to have input as far as what we want. Here's the key thing. It's two organizations that are having to bring their constituencies and stakeholders together. Insofar as we're doing that, it's really important that we be as clear as we can and go about this kind of discussion so that as they try to raise money for their portion of this, they're able to say, for example, it's the county's intent to have the facility ultimately be owned by Lifelong. At this time, at the time that they passed the resolution, it's not cast in stone, but it helps them when they do their fundraising and when they go to people and say, this is what we're trying to do. I think in as much as we can try to do this, as Mike said, you know, it's a process, it's ongoing. It's helpful for us to try to see what we can agree on to put in this. And like I said before, so far, I'm okay about everything that's been included, but if the majority needs to take some of these out or add some, that's what we're doing. This is the process. So carry on.
Dooley Kiefer.
It's my impression that the specific bullets on page 2 that Carol would just as soon see vanish are there because they have been, negotiated is probably too strong a word, but they have been arrived at mutually between the county and Lifelong. And to the extent that they reflect the state of mind of both organizations, it's important to have down what we've tentatively agreed to. And there are three bullets on page 2. Just counting down without having moved any, the fourth, fifth, and sixth bullets, they all address the financing and ownership. Mm-hmm. And they go together. The county is able to bond things. But when we have paid that off, we shouldn't have any other costs for our agency or our department than just what it costs them to run the space that they occupy. And that's the second of those bullets. And as part of that overall agreement that Lifelong would end up owning the building, seemed like a reasonable part of the package, and I would hate to see all of them vanish since they have been arrived at mutually to this point.
Before I call anyone else, I'll just point out that there's the third party interested in this resolution of intent, state courts, who are presently housing us. Right. They appreciate seeing progress towards an agreement. Frank Proto, then Martha, then Pam.
First, I think it's important to recognize that I really would appreciate it if the minutes of this meeting would reflect that this does not bind us to anything.
Yes.
This resolution doesn't bind us to anything. This is just setting out, as Leslin has described, what our wishes slash intent is at or are at this time, and that more discussions have to take place. And I think David is probably going to be called on at the point where we're talking about financing this. Also, what the impact of Bullet 6 is. If such a facility is built, it would ultimately be owned by Lifelong. I think we need to understand what the financial impacts of that are. And I would call on the controller to help us understand that.
Yeah.
However, Leslin?
No, I said yep.
Okay. Dooley and I, the bullet that isn't there about other provisions, could we suggest this wording? This agreement includes changes allowing the county to participate in addressing unforeseen issues as the project rolls out.
I think the second word might be language. Is that?
The agreement includes language that does that.
Language.
Okay, is that friendly to the mover?
I don't like the word agreement.
Well, isn't this an agreement?
It's a resolution of intent. I don't like the word agreement.
All right, how about, are you comfortable with resolution of intent, too?
Or this resolution,
of intent?
The last bullet says such terms as outlined above would be the subject of an agreement, and that's the agreement that.
That's the agreement you are referencing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So okay then. Okay.
Final agreement.
I'm sure there's a better way to write it than.
Well, I mean that's doing it on the fly. That would be bullet 9.
So it will be the final agreement.
Yeah.
Our final agreed upon terms will.
Right.
That is accepted as friendly, and Frank is a seconder, of course, moved it.
I just want to make sure the whole intention here is that as things come together, there are things, as I said before, that we can't, as much as some of us think we can see the future.
Did we capture that? Can we rephrase it, either Kathy?
Should I read the? Go ahead. You want to read it, Kathy?
Did we want to change it to final agreement? Yeah.
Did you want to make it final agreement, Kathy?
That's what Leslin, I think, believe it's
final agreement.
Yeah. If we're referencing the agreement, yes.
Includes language allowing the county to participate
in addressing
unforeseen issues as the project is rolled out.
Okay, that's now a part of the resolution. I have Martha, Pam, then Carol. This is a lot of discussion for our consent agenda item.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, I didn't think it should have been on consent anyway, by the way. But I think just because it's a very critical policy issue, but I think I understand the idea of sort of taking out wholesale a bunch of these bullets. But I think it's really worth having them as a guide for the whoever it is that's going to be the negotiators. There are going to be a couple of people at the table actually working this out, and I think these are important policies that we're giving them guidance to say this is what we're looking for.
I have Pam, then Carol, then Ed.
Well, I've gotten two impressions here. One impression was that some of these bullets belong together because these have already been negotiated. I mean, who is doing this? Who put this together for the county? Who was on the county negotiating this?
I think Dooley mentioned negotiation is too strong. Steve,
yeah,
do you want to?
It's not negotiation.
That was too strong. Word. Ed Marks.
Steve, what's your?
And Lisa.
Go ahead, Steve. Ed and I met with several members of the
Lisa
and Lisa, right, of the Lifelong Board, just to talk about, you know, what would it look like if we did something jointly? The idea behind the resolution on the 10th was to paint a picture. That's all you're trying to do, is just to get everybody to have the same vision. So when you do sit down to try to hammer out the details, you understand what you're dealing with. Because otherwise, you're dealing with a financial vehicle and an effort that is uncommon, and people have misunderstandings about what you're trying to do. So the idea here is just to paint a clear picture so that people have an idea of where you're going.
Pam, can you continue?
But I think that I don't know that is where we're going. And I mean, if we say that it is our, if such a facility is built, it will ultimately be owned by Lifelong, I don't know that that's true. And I come to the opposite conclusion that Kathy does on this, is that if we pass this and Lifelong assumes that they will ultimately own it, and they go out fundraising based on that, and in fact negotiations, they don't end up owning it. I would vote for this. I mean, I really want to vote for it. If we took out the two bullets, which refer in return for the county's participation, and the next one, if such a facility is built. If those two are taken out, I can support this resolution.
Until that's moved, I'm going to move on to Carol.
I mean, if they'll accept it.
Is it accepted as friendly to take those out?
I said that a while ago, that would be fine with me to remove those two.
I wouldn't accept either one of them.
Not by the seconder, so we'll have to go back and make it a motion if that's necessary. Let's move on with discussion to Carol.
I just want to clarify Dooley's statement that all of these terms have been discussed and agreed upon between the county and Lifelong. I don't believe that some of them have been. I am liaison to the COFA board, and been in touch with Lisa, and I've heard all of this at FNI. And my understanding of all the documents that I have seen is that we have talked about possible ways to own this together, or to approach it together, that we have talked about the bullet points 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 in terms of ultimate ownership would be a good way to pursue it, but it hasn't been definitively agreed to. It is my understanding, though, that we have really never talked about the last set of documents I saw didn't have anything, for example, about the energy efficient component. And while that is a desirable thing to have in the building, and I would ultimately push them to do it, if it's going to be their building and their cost estimates are already coming in higher than what they had in mind, tying them in with our resolution to what level of energy efficiency they're going to design the building to be, I think it's premature to be asking them for that. And so bullet points 3 and 4, I didn't see anything in the earlier documents. And I don't think that there was agreement between the parties about it.
I have Ed Marks, Jim Dennis, Kathy Lucerera. Then I'd like to proceed to a vote.
Thank you. I hope I can clear up a couple of things here. Basically, all of these terms have been discussed with Lifelong, and they're in basic agreement with all of them. They actually would have liked to see a memorandum of understanding incorporating these several months ago, and the legislature wasn't ready to do that at that time. The legislature wanted to see the results of the feasibility study before saying anything more than let's do the feasibility study, which was prudent. So we did the feasibility study, and Lifelong is now at the point of their board making a decision whether they think they can proceed with this project. They want to know what the project that they're trying to decide about proceeding with might be. And that is why this resolution is coming to the legislature now, for the legislature to say what its intent of the project is. These are the things that Lifelong also thinks are important to know. All of them, I think, are important to them to know. So that's why it is what it is. I would suggest one other way of saying what was mentioned by Frank and others earlier is in the last bullet of the resolve could simply say such terms as outlined above and such others as may be deemed necessary or desirable would be subject of an agreement. Leaves it open to covering anything else that's not covered now or that needs to be done to clarify anything that's in this intent. But I do think that the idea was to try to lay these all of these elements out as in our intent. They are not interested in building a building on their property that they would not own. These things are here for a reason, and I think we understand that. They would occupy the vast majority of the space that's on their property. You know, it only makes sense that they ultimately would own it. What the interim ownership agreement or arrangement or occupancy agreement is what you would put in and negotiate in a final agreement. But these are here for a reason, and I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that.
What is presently on the floor has a ninth bullet with the wording that Frank and Dooley have read out, have been read twice. It will stay on the floor until we get a motion to change it. I have Jim Dennis next.
One question for Jonathan. Jonathan, if the resolution passes as is without change, what are we committed to do in 25
really
words or less?
Committed to do anything until you sign an agreement. And even then, the agreement is going to be subject to bonding, and you're not committed to anything until you do the bonding. So essentially, nothing.
And on to Kathy Luce Herrera. I would like to proceed to a vote.
I just wanted to try to clarify in for what the way that I look at the renewable energy aspect of it. It's really helpful to have heard from Ed that Lifelong has been in discussions about this and essentially agrees with all of them. As a county legislator, though, I think it's acceptable and desirable for us, particularly since we're signing on to the maintenance costs later on, to see to it that there's renewable energy sources and things. So it's kind of, since we heard from Ed that they're already in agreement, and since as a county it's part of our policy to pursue these things, I think it's consistent. I like I indicated before, I'm not going to wrestle with anybody about this. The idea is to move it forward, and depending on what gets the most votes, I think we should try to let Lifelong know that we agree to something. So I'm not quite sure which bullets are removed or added, but I want to indicate my support so far.
Given that we have had 15 speakers, I'd like to go to a vote. What's presently on the floor has 9 bullets. Are we ready to vote? Carol, then Pam, then Martha.
Yeah, I'd like to ask a similar question of Jonathan, but the opposite of what Jim asked. If we pass this and later the terms change so that some of these change, will we be able to do that?
With my bullet, we will.
Jonathan?
We will be able to change the terms because we haven't agreed on anything yet. So okay, with or without Frank's language, we can always change or not agree. I mean, this is just a resolution of intent to enter into an agreement. Until there's an agreement signed by both parties, there's no binding obligation on anybody.
You've heard our county attorney twice on the matter. Pam Mackesy.
Well, I guess I would, this is actually a point of information, because I would like to, the seconder did not agree to...
Friendly.
Friendly, and so I would like to know how I proceed on that.
You can move an amendment.
I make an amendment?
You move an amendment to take out bullets 5 and 6.
Okay, so I move an amendment to take out what are commonly considered 5 and 6, and the two ones that say, in return for the county's participation, and if such a facility is built.
Is there a second for taking those two out? It dies for lack of a second. Okay. Is there anything else, Pam?
No.
On to Martha Robertson.
I would like to, if it's not just can be accepted what Ed said about a simpler way of, instead of adding that last bullet, which still confuses me, I'd really like to see what Ed said in that language being added to the last existing bullet. So,
what's presently on the floor includes the ninth bullet with the language that was read out. You're suggesting to remove the ninth bullet and put in simpler language that Ed read? Is that what you're proposing? Ed, can you restate the small phrase that you considered a substitute for the ninth bullet?
Right. Such terms as outlined above and such others as may be deemed necessary or desirable would be the subject. So
okay,
the added language would be and such others as may be deemed necessary or desirable.
Is that a motion, Martha, to replace bullet 9 with that?
Yeah, I'll make a motion.
Okay, is there a second to that? Will Burbank? Deliberation on that topic, Dooley Kiefer.
I think those words are fine and they should be added anyway, but they say something. They don't include the specificity of what Frank was asking for. They allow lots of other things to get added, but Frank came up with one thing in particular, and I think you can have both the ninth bullet and Ed's language. And they don't. One doesn't substitute for the other.
I'm sure. Can you just read the ninth bullet point again to refresh our memory?
Karen, you had the wording of the ninth bullet.
A final agreement includes language allowing the county to participate in addressing unforeseen issues as the project is rolled out.
Okay, that's presently what's on the floor. We have an amendment to that being proposed. Are we ready to vote on the amendment to take that off and put in Ed's smaller phrase? All in favor of that substitute, please raise your hand. Any opposed? There's two in favor. Opposed, please raise your hand. I think that's 13. Oh, no, Dyke's not here. That's 12.
Can I make the motion to
vote for if you're
can I move to?
I'm sorry, the vote was 2 in favor, 12 opposed. Martha.
Can I add? I'll move to add the language and leave.
In addition to the ninth, is there a second for that? Carol seconds. Any further discussion? Are ready to vote on adding Ed's specific language? It's been read twice now. All in favor, please raise your hands. Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. We now have all that language in. Are we ready to vote on the amended resolution? Further deliberation? All in favor? Please raise your hand.
Aye.
And are there any opposed? That passes with one opposed. Thank you very much, Leslie. Are we ready to move on to the human
Thank you very much for your indulgence.
You did. You said half an hour ago. No one's allowed to raise me. Frank Frodo, quick question.
I just want to thank you for your indulgence for the for doing
indulging
that.
You anytime,
okay.
Frank.
Human Resources Committee. Jim Dennis.
There is a meeting Thursday, and I believe my age is past the ability to join lifelong.
Since this meeting started.
No.
How about AARP, Jim?
I'm already a member.
Move on to Government Operations Committee. Mike Hattery, Chair.
We haven't met since our last meeting.
Oh, this is the legislature?
Not the legislature.
Anyone move your resolution, H?
But our next meeting is September 12th. I'd like to move resolution H, which I'll read the title of. Which we had a public hearing regarding earlier. Adoption of local law number C of 2008, a local law providing for enhanced personal privacy for documents recorded in the office of the county clerk and authorizing an increase in fees collected by the county clerk for recording, entering, indexing, and endorsing a certificate on any instrument.
Is there a second? Jim Dennis. Is there discussion? Frank Proto.
I'd like to move to separate. I'd like to separate the privacy documents piece from the raising of the fees. And I asked at the last meeting if it was possible, did we have to have another public hearing? And my recollection is the answer was no.
There's a second to separate. Jonathan, can you just give us a quick ruling on separating the two parts of the local law?
Well, I mean, if we're going to adopt the exact same thing, just do it in two separate local laws, I don't think that's a substantive change, so I think that's
okay.
Fine.
That is now
legally.
That's now subject for discussion on the floor. Martha Robertson.
Well, I'd like to have an explanation of what would be in which part, because I don't see anything. I don't see it obvious where you separate, but you put into one part and the other.
I agree. I didn't see any clear lines of separation.
Yeah, I'll suggest it.
Okay, Frank Proto.
In the first resolve, down to in the office of county clerk would be the privacy documents piece, and the next piece would be authorizing an increase in fees collected by the county clerk for recording, entering, etc.
I mean in the law.
The law.
That's what I'm talking about.
The language of the law.
I mean, I think in section 114-24.
Correct.
What I'm, I assume you suggest separating, but it would, I think it would have to be rewritten to show this, that the last two sentences, a cover page shall not include any social security number or date of birth, and then about redacting such information, would need to be in a separate section than the fee information? Is that what you're suggesting, Frank?
Yes.
So how would we do that, John?
On the fly, do you want to separate 114-24 wording into two parts of those, two different local laws?
Well,
not particularly.
I think the rest of the local law would be the same for both parts, the severability part, etc. And we would just...
I mean, you could just, you know, have it repeat all the other provisions and just have two local laws taking one part out and putting it there. I'm not making any comment on the wisdom of doing that, nor which pieces you'd pull out. My opinion was essentially that if you don't change the substance at all, then you don't have to have a new public hearing on it. If all you're doing is putting it in a different form but not changing the substance, because the purpose of the public hearing is to address the substance, not whether it's in one or two laws. I'm not suggesting any particular method of doing that.
Yes.
Or the wisdom of doing that.
The motion on the floor is to separate. There's been a modest explanation of how to do so. Leslie McLean, Claire Bourne.
I pass. I had a different idea.
Okay. Martha and then Dooley.
Well, I assume the intent is to be able to vote one part of it up and not to vote the same way on the two parts. Is that, if I can ask?
Just like you zeroed in on the recycling coming from Philadelphia, you're right on the money on this one, too.
Dooley Kiefer.
I am not sure whether or not we already have something in our code that says what our fees are, and if so, then we should be amending that section with part of this, and we should have a new section using the title from this local law for the privacy part. Jonathan, is there a mention of fees anywhere else? For recording documents?
Yeah.
In Article 3?
Yeah, there presently has to be a fee
for
recording language. We're about to vote on the language to separate, the non-specific language of separating from Frank Proto. Any other comments? Mike Hattery.
Is there any reason why we can't table until we rewrite this language and this into two separate pieces, if that's desired?
We have 90 days after a public hearing, correct, Jonathan?
We could vote on separation, but then table until it's rewritten.
Correct. Dooley Kiefer.
Would it be possible to have a straw vote and see how many people will vote against the raising of fees? Because if it's moot, then we don't have to go through all this agony. If there aren't enough people who will vote against that section. Are straw votes possible?
On the floor present is a motion to separate. I'm going to vote on that first.
I don't want to. I would support a motion to separate, but only if it's for going to make a difference in how it comes out. If there aren't enough people to vote down part of it, then there's no point in separating.
I think Jonathan's looking up section or Article 3 to see if there's language that makes it easy to separate.
I mean, there is currently a fee
yes.
in the code, but this was designed to change that.
You know, in fact, the language of it says the fee will now increase from what's in here to a different amount.
No, without specificity, it's hard to know what to be voting on here, but we'll take the motion to separate up. We're ready to vote on that. Those in favor of Frank's motion to separate? And opposed? That's two in favor and looks like 12 opposed. Back to the main motion, which is Resolution H attached to the local law. Any further discussion? Ready to vote on Resolution H as moved? All in favor? And opposed? That passes 12 to 2 with two opposed. Thank you very much. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee, Martha Robertson, Chair.
Thank you. I want to thank Frank for chairing the August 14th meeting. The only business from that meeting left over tonight was already on consent, and I just want to thank Frank, and the next meeting is Thursday, September 11th at 3 o'clock.
There's no questions for that committee. There's no individual member file resolutions. We don't have minutes of previous meetings. Who would like to move to go into executive session? Frank Proto moves it. Mike Hattery seconds. This is for matter...
Negotiations. I thought I heard
negotiations. Matters relating to negotiations. I don't believe we're taking any action after the meeting. All in favor? All moving into executive session. Any opposed? We'll take a 5-minute break while we move into executive session.